make a change on the agenda in recommendation, or, yeah, in recommendations, I'd like to move 7.6, Thomas Rappadal, steering committee, new site selection to discussions.
Is there a seconder for that motion? Are there any other changes to the agenda? All those, first we have to vote on the amendment to move 7.6 to 8.4. All those in favor of moving the recommendation to a discussion, please signify by raising your hand. Contrary? Defeated. All those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, please raise your hand. Against? Carried. North Queens Active Living. The presentation. Morning.
Morning, Mayor, Norman, councilors. We have sent the owner.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Wonderful.
And our audio, our sound still needs to be improved in here. So if you could, please just project your voice as great as you can.
Why don't you just bring the speaker over in the front?
Yeah, I don't know. Why don't you just don't put it on?
Is that?
This one?
Okay. There I am. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Oops. Sorry, everybody.
Mayor Norman, do we want to bring that speaker over in front of them so they could, would that make it better?
Or? I mean, there's a microphone above them. They just have to speak loud.
Okay.
Microphone
okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Good morning, everyone. So my name is Tara Atkins. I'm the current active living coordinator for the North Queens Active Living Pilot Project. This is Karen Rodding. So she is one of the committee members, and she's standing in today because Alyssa, our chair, is quite ill. So she has to send her regrets. So we're excited to be here today to share the work of the North Queens Active Living Pilot Project. And what you will hear today is the work that we've accomplished over the 2022-23 fiscal year, which built upon the startup work we accomplished in 2021-2022. And before we do begin, I want to note that what we're sharing are accomplishments of the North Queens Active Living. With your investment, having a dedicated staff in North Queens, we've been able to initiate and sustain recreation and sport programs and supports to meet the unique needs of our rural residents. We've seen firsthand how important local programs and solutions are to increase access and participation to sport and recreation programs in our community. Throughout this, we have worked closely with the municipality to inform them of our work, partner when it made sense, and to cross-promote our unique areas of work. It is important to us to partner and collaborate to offer unique programs and not to overlap or to compete with the work of the municipality. I trust that we have achieved this through our strong communication and collaboration with your municipal recreation team. While the Region of Queens municipality funding supported my role personally, we have been proactive in applying for project funding, and this past year alone, we have secured over $14,000 in additional funding for projects in North Queens. We'll provide some details in our presentation.
North Queens Active Living has worked closely with our regional manager and our regional physical activity consultant for communities, culture, tourism, and heritage, and our regional sport consultant with Sport Nova Scotia in the second year of the project to develop a theory of change and work plan specific to the needs of our communities. The work plan directly supports the theory of change and provides a proposed action plan for the coordinator. coordinator and committee to follow in organizing the projects and activities that are delivered throughout the year. Part one of this work plan targeted active living planning and prioritizing, including project priority setting, evaluation framework development, confirmation of primary funding sources, and identification of ad hoc funding for additional programs and activities. Focus in 2022-2023 has been on expansion and inclusivity, creating a culture that is supportive of active living. How can we best reach these marginalized populations? How do we adjust our focus to accommodate the ever-changing situation relative to COVID-19? What is or appears to be in highest demand for our residents? How do we instill the trust that the Active Living Committee is here to stay? The past 10 months have been spent evaluating and best addressing these focal points, ultimately looking toward a successful, permanent outcome. Programming was able to increase significantly in the 22-23 year with easing of COVID-19 restrictions. This year has seen over 20 programs and activities by North Queens Active Living independently, the majority of which could not have taken place without the pilot. We also collaborated with the Region of Queens Municipality Director of Recreation and Healthy Communities, Megan, and our MPAL Kimberly to see 5 other programs or initiatives come to life. We have also provided support to our local Board of Trade and the South Shore Regional Center for Education via North Queens Community School in breaking ground on numerous projects supporting physical activity, sports, and recreation this year.
The past 10 months have seen three incredible milestones for North Queens Active Living. Part two of our developed work plan included offering and promoting a variety of physical activity and recreation opportunities, which are well utilized locally. Planning and promoting several new programs or initiatives that are viewed as valuable to the rural community standing out in this area, we have collaborated with volunteers across the community and secured program funding to initiate and establish a volleyball club locally. The first such club in all of Queens County, Queens Chaos. 2023 will begin in February, a co-ed development program for youth in grades 6 to 12, allowing many local youth their first experience in a club sport setting, and with the intention to offer competitive programming for the 2024 season. Part three of the work plan, seeking, naming, and certifying local champions to lead on portions of the active living program in North Queens, wasn't identified as a priority. A roster of champions was identified, and further, we continue to seek additional supports for various sports and programs and identify the ways we are able to best support their leadership. As well, we've secured program funding, which supported the certification of 8 local champions at a provincial coaching level across 3 of the most popular sports in the area. We have 5 softball and volleyball coaches certified through the Coach Association of Canada National Coaching Certification Program as provincially certified development coaches. And 3 soccer coaches are certified through the Canada Soccer Coach Education and Certification Program with a children's license in the developmental stream. Part 4 identified creative and local solutions to transportation for physical activity, sport, and recreation in North Queens as one of the 2 top barriers that our youth in the area face when in regards to participating in sport. A system of reliable transportation for such sports programs is invaluable. We worked diligently alongside members of Sport Nova Scotia to develop a proposed physical activity, sport, and recreation transportation pilot. And in November, said proposal was finally approved. With funding from Sport Nova Scotia, we are thrilled to now be entering into a year of transportation for physical activity, sport, and recreation support work in North Queens, December 2022 to 2023. Our participants, as well as our community champions, are passionate about our programs.
Our programming provides opportunity for unique groups and unstructured activity which supports a community culture of active living. A program offered locally for many families is the difference between a missed and a reachable opportunity. The feedback we receive program after program is a testament to the impact of our pilot, that our pilot has made to our communities. Attached are photos from some of the past 10 months of programming. Ice hockey and family skates, youth summer softball, firefighter fitness, paddleboarding and kayak try it, a cardboard sled contest, and toddler multi-sport. All but one of which of these are entirely new programs made possible as a result of the continuation of North Queen's Active Living. As we move forward and look to the future, North Queen's Active Living sustainability is of utmost importance. We are actively building a culture embodying active living in our community. As explicitly explained by Anna Hanstra, a theory of change is an ongoing project. Our community needs to feel as though they can rely on the continuance of a program in order to fully engage in it, rely on it. The North Queens Active Living Committee fully intends to grow roots as a permanent entity in North Queens, thus providing residents with that reassurance. As such, we have taken the first steps in officially securing nonprofit status in the province of Nova Scotia. We have branched out in networking with other like-minded groups in North Queens to identify further interested parties and build a devoted board of directors, which we believe is an important next step in continuing to sustain and grow our offerings. As well, we've produced a budget for the 2023-2024 fiscal year and seek the Region of Queens Municipality continued support of the North Queens Active Living Project. We continue to work with the communities, cultures, heritage, and tourism, Sport Nova Scotia, Community Links Regional Coordinator, the Regional School Health Promoter, and liaisons from North Queens Community School to develop both short and long-term goals, as well as continued research and networking to source additional forms of funding with long-term commitment in mind for this very important project to our communities. And I would just like to note here that since having submitted this these files last week, we have officially confirmed project funding from the RCE for the 2023-2024 project year. So as we are again requesting funding in the amount of $16,500 from the Region of Queens to support the project's next fiscal year to support our vision. North Queens community having access to regular local recreation and sport programs and opportunities in all seasons that suit the unique needs of rural residents and increase overall participation. We encourage any feedback or guidance on future, more permanent funding opportunities for North Queens Active Living, taking into consideration the intended nonprofit status going forward. We, the members of the North Queens Active Living Committee, and on behalf of all residents of North Queens, are so grateful for the support that the Region of Queens Municipality has graciously provided. We also give special thanks to Kim and Megan for all of their time, dedication, and effort they have put forth specific to North Queens this past year. We look so forward to our continued collaboration, and we welcome any questions or comments that Council has.
Thank you very much. Tara and Karen. It's great to see the goals that you've met and for many programs. Council, do you have questions or comments to either Tara or Karen at this point in time? Councilor Gidney?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank you very much for your comments. And, I think it's a great, great thing that you're doing.
Thank you.
Keep it up. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you very much for all your work, and it's more than I would ever thought would happen, and I'd like to see a lot more happen now that we've gone this far, and it's a very important part of our community, and especially with all the new people moving in, and to get them involved in our community, which would be a big asset, I think. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think you guys have done a great job out there. One concern I have is I live in LaBelle and Greenfield, and it doesn't seem to be any information on there about what happens in Greenfield, which is part of North Queens. Seems like there's kind of a disconnect that we have a recreation center, we have a school there, and we're not seeing anything from these programs that help the people get to those recreation centers, the travel, you know, the competing teams. You know, there's a lot of assets there, and I would really love to see all of North Queens, not just Caledonia, included in this at some point. I know the Greenfield Recreation is looking at building a soccer field and recreation field complex, and I would like to see everybody on board with working together, because we're stronger if we work together than if we work against each other.
Absolutely, and just to speak to that, we are, this year is more trying to build, so a big part of our work plan is also branching out our roots and trying to build partnerships with new organizations and new committees. And we have been in touch with the Greenfield Rec Center for multiple things. The disconnect gets challenging because even North Queens is such a vast space. So we partner where we can, and then we try to implement other programs where we cannot. So some of these new programs we're starting are in partnership with the rec center. For example, the volleyball club will be utilizing the rec center. But in, as we've kind of pointed out before as well, the very northerly part of North Queens is still 35 minutes from Greenfield. So that's where it becomes a bit of a challenge. That being said, these transportation pilots, all of our programs are open and offered to all of the residents of North Queens as well. And we try to promote it as well across all of the areas that we're able to.
Just a comment to that, some of the areas in Greenfield are over an hour from Caledonia. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, to get both areas working together to cover the whole area, I think would be very beneficial.
Councilor Charlton?
Just further to that comment, maybe that looks like in the future that there's a coordinator specific to the Greenfield area, because if there's a 35-minute gap or further, as David had mentioned, it seems like a lot for one.
Definitely.
And I just had a question in regards to the soccer. So that was new this summer. What was your uptake like for that?
So we started out, we had 22, I believe, youth, or 24, one of the two, I'm sorry, registered for that. And our community saw a couple of sad milestones that happened during the summer. So it waxed and waned around those sorts of things, and the community kind of drawing together where we needed to. We lost the wife of our fire chief this summer, and their family was very much involved in that soccer program, so we did end up taking a bit of a hiatus out of respect and supporting the family. When we did come back from that bit of a hiatus, I think we had been down about 4 children, so I think we stood somewhere around 16, 17 for the remainder of the program. But we also only were able to offer the one age group this particular season because of coaching requirements, essentially. So we had 3 coaches, all who had quite little children and were comfortable with their level of knowledge to coach smaller children. So we had additional interest for older age groups as well, and our hope is that we'll be able to implement with most of these programs additional age groups going forward so we can cover more bodies.
What was that age group?
They did 3 to 6.
So
is
3 to 6, you had 22 kids sign up originally?
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I helped with the Queens County soccer this summer, and in the age group of, it was under 7.
Yeah.
And so there was an under 5 category as well, but that was about the number that we had in the under 7.
Yeah.
So
and this was what they classified.
In this larger area,
this.
So that's really incredible.
Was the U7. So, and they just, again, it's trying to bridge the gap. So many of, all of our coaches, I think, had children who were 3 and 6
mm-hmm.
or 3 and 5. So we just combined them together, which Queens County Soccer said that was fine. But again, in starting these programs, it takes so many bodies to just present one age group. It was the same with our volleyball program this year. It takes about 4 or 5 adult volunteers to be able to offer one team. So yes, we still leave another age group kind of out in the cold, but we need to break ground on any project at one time in one age group before we can branch further into it. So that's our hope, is growing many of the programs we have established so that we can reach more people, because it's always sad in knowing that there's someone we can't reach, but we know that we have to start somewhere and build on that.
And with volleyball, it was your older groups, so it was
exactly.
Teenagers
yeah.
and adults.
actively recruiting. Volunteerism, I think everyone knows, is something that is becoming more of a challenge year over year, and volunteer is such a big part of this. I mean, the coordinator position is the only paid position. It is a part-time position for this committee, and the remainder, everyone who participates is on a volunteer basis. So for me personally, if we have four volunteers, that allows us to kick one program off, even though it may mean we can't cover all the age groups, that's a win. And then next year we look to hopefully expand that and gather another two volunteers that can then participate and offer one more age group, which covers another 15 bodies. So that's kind of where we're leaning toward now. We continue to grow our partnerships, but we also want to grow the programs we have had so that we are kind of covering more of our age groups.
Any other questions? Counselor Fancy?
Yeah, when you first started the program, I was a little skeptical, to be honest with you, because we said, well, in Liverpool here, we have people, volunteers for everything. If you want somebody to volunteer, you go to volleyball, you go see this person. You see this person if you want to play badminton and such as. So I said, hey, well, why are we supporting a group? Why are we paying for someone to do volunteer work, which we already have? And we could see what was going on at North Queens, which was very much a needful thing. And you fellows have gone beyond my expectations of what you're going to do. So my skepticism is gone. And I believe it's very much worthwhile. And if there's some way to incorporate or look in the future to expand in places like Greenfield, who do a wonderful job out there to the hall or center, and again, it will help with our recreation department that they don't have to go out and try to get programs going when they're too busy anyway. So it's been a win-win, I think, all the way around. And thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate that. It's been, I have to say that both Kim and Megan have been instrumental in helping us coordinate where necessary and where it made sense, being very supportive of us, as well as, you know, giving us leverage for other areas where we kind of need to take our own stand and not overlapping. So the communication there has been imperative, and they've made it a breeze. So It's, Kim can attest, it's Queens is a huge amount of land and a huge amount of people to cover, and it's a full-time job in probably every area. So we've done, you know, the best we can to use her support, but not draw her too much from her other commitments.
I'd just like to say I really liked what you said about how you get the volunteers and grow the project, because it looks like it's kind of an organic growth, and it's a sustainable growth, because you're not trying to do everything for everyone all at once. You're putting the wedge in and opening up the cracks and getting things going. So that it looks like a really good approach. I really support that strongly.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So thank you, Karen and Tara, and I really encourage you to work swiftly on your not-for-profit status. It opens an entirely new world when you're looking at grants from various private organizations, government funders, etc. So I really recommend you get a board of directors and become non-for-profit. It just helps secures your long-term future. So.
The application, I will just let you know, the application has officially been approved in establishing the title. So we've gotten that far, and we have the board of directors established. So Alyssa has been diligently working on that portion of it, but as I said, she's unwell. So we're kind of at a pause, but the beginning steps have been completed. So it's exciting.
And tell Alyssa we hope she's better soon.
Thank you, Mayor Norman.
Thank you. Deborah.
thank you for having us speak today. The committee has met several times, and looking at timing, we felt it was important that we present our preliminary recommendations early. So I will stress they are preliminary recommendations, and we're looking at a process of getting it moving as opposed to a lot of detailed recommendations. When we looked at our preliminary recommendations, the categories we wanted to discuss are timing, location, size and shape, energy, and how we're going to look at staff recruitment. So timing, when we looked at the timing from different experts around the time to build, tender process, design process, and did the backwards, looked like June 2025 was a viable time to as the key milestone for opening the pool. And that would depend on council making decisions about the size and location moving forward. There would need to be a project manager to manage all the tender and the project and the construction once we got that far. And we would look to begin construction in the spring of 2024. And then all of the equipment, mechanical systems, and everything would need to be finalized and tested by spring 2025 in order to reach the opening goal of opening in June. Queen's Place was our choice for our recommendation for the location. Why? Well, it's easy accessible. There's a lot of infrastructure. The main one is there's a lot of infrastructure already in place, and thus it fits with the criteria. It would make it less expensive to build because of all of the pieces already in place. So this next diagram is a rendering that was done prior to our recommendations about size and shape, but it does show you the orientation of the facility. So now I think you can see my. So you have this little piece here, which would now be attached and would flip. And I will, when we get to pictures, we can show you what that means. So this is the Queen's Place. Over here would be the dollar store and the pet shop. And this is the road. So it's filled right now. If you look at the topography, that's like a slope. So it would fit into that space and it would connect on through. There's a passageway at the fitness center. So that's what we're recommending as the location and orientation of the facility. Mayor Norman, do you want me to ask for questions on each part, or should
no,
I just go through
we'll
the whole thing?
Just go through, and then we'll take questions, comments at the end, and then you can flip back.
Okay. So size and shape, six lanes, beach entry, and that there's a deep enough for diving, whatever. And we didn't put a depth here for that now because sometimes with public health, those recommendations change. So there's no sense making a recommendation until you're ready to build because we would have to follow public health regulations. So people may not have heard of a beach entry before. Beach entry means, another term is often used, is zero depth. And that means people can walk into the pool as opposed to have to go down a ladder or a ramp. It just makes it so much more accessible. And it also works well when you're trying to teach little kids to swim. I can't tell you how many people I've taught how to swim, and getting kids to come off the ledge into the water, even adults, is traumatic for them, and a lot of them really don't like it. This way, they can sit in water this deep until they're comfortable to move in. It really does make a huge difference. And again, I've talked about diving depths. 25 meters is the standard size for pools being built now. It allows for competition, and the six lanes, as opposed to a four-lane pool, allows clubs to host swim meets and other events. So it provides the best opportunity to make the most use out of the pool. Now this picture shows you, so case it would show the orientation, so where the beach is would be where it, that picture, where it would connect onto Queen's Place. This is a zero depth entry pool. Now there's slides and other things around it, but I tried to find a picture that would show, give you an idea of what a beach entry or a zero depth entry looks like. We also would like to recommend that we have some energy goals around net zero. This helps lower operating costs. There's an opportunity to put solar panels there, and which would hopefully cover most of the cost, if not all, of the cost of running the energy needed to run the facility. And there are a lot of grants available for anything around energy reduction. And we feel that this would be good, and there should be some overlap with Queen's Place itself. So anything that's generated during the summer months that's not used by the pool would be able to be stored and used by the facility throughout the winter. Staff recruitment, from research and talking to Mayor Norman and others, we know that's getting staff to work and trained and ready to go is a problem, and it's trouble with the two pools that there's now, the North Queens pool and the smaller Milton pool. This would be bigger than the Milton pool. So having a plan in place to ensure that there's enough staff to work at this facility that are qualified and trained and have the experience to run it is crucial. Myself, I've run these types of projects for years, and I think we can make this work here. There's a lot of funding and grants available for this type of work, and we would break it into two phases so that the first would be for the two pools that operate already, Milton and North Queens, in the summer of 2024, and put some people through. So because to have all new staff in one summer would not be a good idea, so this allows the training, and it also allows for supervisory training to make sure that we have an outdoor pool manager, whatever your nomenclature would be for the staff, available and ready to go for that summer. This project we would propose that could be undertaken by the pool committee. We would have a recruitment process and strategy with staff and other influencers. And when I say influencers, I mean on our teen market group, our grade 11 and 12s that we would be looking to recruit. And it would provide full training to the staff so that they'd be ready to step onto the deck and go. So taking them from being able to swim well to being able to be a lifeguard and a swim instructor. So the pool committee proposes assuming the following roles based on these recommendations. We would lead the staff recruitment and training project. I think it's already come before our council that the Queens County Aquatic Society has already committed to leading the fundraising for this project. Anything that would be needed above and beyond to secure the funding that we need above what we've already have. That the committee would work with a project manager to review tenders, inform the design decisions, and this would include conducting key stakeholder meetings prior to any design to get any of that information from the community, all possible users, accessibility, youth, multi-generational, older adults, anyone that might want to use this facility to get informed decision on creating the design, and to do all the work around the research, searching out, and developing appropriate grant proposals to present to staff to submit to the appropriate organizations. So it's a lot, but we're looking really to get the process started. Like 2025 seems a long way away, but there are a lot of things that need to be done when you're doing creating a new build. That's the end of our presentation.
Questions? Questions, comments? Councilor Ginn.
I have a couple questions, but you answered them. All I want to do is say thank you. I'm so impressed with your enthusiasm and the way things are going. Thank you very much.
Other comments? Councilor Brown?
I really enjoyed the process. As you well know, we worked together at Milton Pool. Seems like a lot of years ago, and it was.
Let's not talk about
but, this looks like a state-of-the-art facility, and I think it's going to be really good for Queens County. The plan you put in place, I had some questions when I started looking at the presentation because the drawings and the pictures didn't line up, but that answered my questions quite well. But it looks like a very good facility that's going to allow for people of all ages and abilities to be able to use it. And hopefully it's not as cold as the Milton Pool was when we were working up there with kids with blue lips every day.
And the solar, hopefully the solar panels will allow to.
We'll do that, yeah.
Yeah.
Really impressed, thank you.
Thanks.
Other comments, Counselor Charlton?
I'd just like to thank you for the presentation too, it was very well done. Looking forward to seeing it come to life.
Comments?
Deputy Mayor Fancy?
Okay, a couple things. One thing that you pointed out there, which I think is really, really quite important, if we go with solar, we've always talked about the cost savings over at Queen's Place, or the cost of operating Queen's Place. If the solar panels are put in, and it's all about trying to go to net zero, to try to get and the closer you get, the more grants that are available. And there's tons of grants out there once you get to those spots. So if the more solar panels that are in, it'll heat the pool during the summer, but during the winter, it's gonna give a cost savings to Queen's Place to help reduce our costs, which everybody wants to do with Queen's Place. So when we talk about grants and things, it'd be something too. I don't know if it needs to be talked at this particular time, but even if we go forward with this, where does the grants, is it something that the region writes grants? Do we help with writing grants and things like that? These are things that are going to have to be established if we're going to, because they have all the opportunities to write grants, but we got to find out who does it and when and where. That's something that needs to be discussed along the way.
Yeah, that's one of the things. So once we get approval that these are the dates and the whatever, then we would create a timeline for the committee, a project timeline. And in that, we've already started the research. For example, if we wanted to get the Halifax Community Grant for the staff project, so if their deadlines are this date, so we will do all of that research on what grants we know of, when the deadlines are, and that would be part of our project timeline that we would put together for the committee. So this slide here, so if this is what council agrees that we're going to do, then part of that work would be creating a project timeline, working that in with whatever the project manager is hired. So they'll have the construction timeline, the hardscaping, if you will. And then we need to fit in, if we need solar panels, when do you need to have the solar panels? When do you need to have the money? So the two would have to work very closely together to create that project timeline so that if they need the money for the solar panels on January 22nd, 2025. We need to put that grant in the year before, and how that works with the council and where it is. Do you have a? I honestly don't know. Do you have a? If we're applying for grants, the council's the region's applying for a grant over. I don't know, do you have limits? If it's more than this, it has to be council approval. So all of those things we will need to know so that we can make sure we have the timeline that meets that end goal of a public and hard opening for the June, for the summer 2025 season. That's the goal of the committee.
Other questions?
I had one other question, and it was of CAO McNeil, but was the grant that comes for this, did it have a deadline for when this was supposed to be? And I thought it was December of 2024.
Terms and conditions of the agreement are confidential, so I can't comment.
Okay.
Yeah. But right. We need to do something between those, because the terms and conditions, they wish not to make them public and share them. But yet there's some very specifics that are contrary to some of this information.
So we need to figure out how that communications going forward.
The build of the actual pool we're looking at being in 2024.
But we just need to.
It just can't open until 2025,
right?
Because it'd be fall of 2024 that it was finished.
So there are, yeah. Thanks for clarifying that. There's some design features as well that to be flushed through. So I'm gonna have to make a type of connection with funders somehow to make sure that they're, because they are the approvers of the design. That was. Are there any other questions?
On the screen there, you have one location you picked.
Yes.
Based on information of staffing, parking, roads and water, sewage itself to determine that's accurate.
What do you mean by accurate?
So for instance, that there's already staffing in place, I assume you're assuming that there's already staffing in place to operate a pool?
No.
There's water and sewer in place to facilitate a pool there, there's parking that's sufficient, like, so I'm just trying to understand where that, how that assumption came about, or how that recommendation came about.
Can I, the staffing wasn't staffing for the pool, sorry, that was poorly worded, that meant that staffing is already into the, in the building, so if you're accessing through the building, there's already a staffing desk or reception desk or whatever terminology you use, that exists, not staffing for the pool, sorry, that was poorly put up there, that's what we meant, that there's, that the building, if it's connected, there's a reception area already in place.
Your assumption is that, for instance, the front desk, the one staff person there is capable of the regular function as well as looking after all the pool functions as well from people coming in.
If they, even if they can't do all of it, that there's already, there's has to be capacity there, is that, that would, they can do some of that, so no, there was no questioning and asking there, that the, if even if they can't do all of it, there's still, there is still staff, the building is still open, so there is still some staff in place.
So that recommendation is just your own thinking, I guess.
Yes.
My comment that your own assumptions.
Yeah.
And so did you consider other locations?
We felt like that was the best location for saving of money and because of those reasons.
And
we did talk about different locations, but that one came to be the best.
And the assumption, I guess I could use the word assumption, but your assumption of saving of money is based on what?
That there's a building already there, so for it, the change rooms, the office space, the mechanical room and everything, there'd be a wall to attach to, you save money on that, and you have the, again, the parking lot and the roadway in and everything there already. We're not talking about use of water or anything from the building itself because we have to have an energy audit done to know if there's any excess. Whether, you know, sewer and water gets brought in separately or it comes from, partial comes from the building, has to be determined. It isn't determined yet, but that's a matter of hiring somebody to do an energy audit.
I just have a question. So, because we know how much money we have, and we need to use that money to hire a project manager, give you a recommendation, and then conduct, we hire for energy audit? Do you hire for energy audit?
Yes.
And then that money also has to be stretched to be able to build the facility.
Yeah, and there are grants for the design part of it. That would be the first thing we would recommend, to go after the grant for design. We have a list of grants that are available, and that was one that they said Natural Resources, Department of Natural Resources, Clean Energy Branch, said that they actually have money available, and she will let us know when that grant is now going to be again for this year, because it's already passed for last year.
And so will your committee be the grant writers?
That's what we're asking from you guys. Are we going to write them, you look at them, approve them or change them or whatever? We're asking you that.
And you feel you have the capacity in within yourselves to be grant writers?
I think that within, and if we, not within the four non-counselors on the committee, if we don't, I think that it's not so much within, but it's the connections from within that, yes. The others on the committee, yes. That was our goal. That's why we put...
I'm just trying to get my head around who's going to be responsible for...
Yeah, because it could be a lot, and the research could be a lot, so that's why on our fourth ask down there is that we said that if council gave that role to the committee, we would take that up and we would either do it among the four that there, or that we would find volunteers that could have that expertise or connections to get us into where we need it to be.
Any other questions? Councilor Romero?
I'd like to thank you for your presentation. On the side where we had discussed about attaching the pool, is there change rooms? Is there things on that side that's not being used that can be used by the pool?
Again, that has to be determined when the design is in place, because there's rules on how much space you need for change rooms and the pipe structure,
mm-hmm.
and that can't be determined until the design is done.
Okay.
And change rooms tend to be wet,
mm-hmm.
and the change rooms for the fitness center
mm-hmm.
dry. And also, too, again, I'm going to just say the public health, with COVID, public health regulations are changing, and they would be public health regs are the
determining.
If they say you have, if your maximum bather load is 120 people and you must have X number of square feet per person, then that's what you have to do. So that's, we haven't done any of that. We have not done that research. We know that research will need to be done, but we're waiting. It would have not really served a lot of purpose to spend time on that at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And have you given thought to what you would look for in qualifications for a project manager?
No. I would, we were assuming that the region would have hired project managers for others, and that you would have those qualifications and processes in place for hiring project managers.
They hire for very specific.
Yeah. And that's something we can look at. And I think the committee would be, at least one person or two, would be more than happy to work with to get that done and to be part of that hiring process. Well, obviously we can't hire, but selection process maybe is a better word.
Any other? I thank you. You're certainly moving ahead on this with, you know, it's a big picture with lots of things that need to be put together.
So as the design will need to be approved for the people who provided the funding for this opportunity, is there going to be any connection between the committee and that group? Because if we're ready to move forward with this, we will need to start having the key stakeholder groups and gathering up all of that information and doing that type of research on design, because that's sort of where we need to go next. If once the location is approved and the timing is approved, the next is the design. And if there's, that's part of it, then at some point I feel the committee will need to meet with the parties who have provided the funding so that we can come to an agreement on how that process is going to work and the timing. So I just would ask, because that wasn't an, we didn't realize that, but if it is, then that needs to be fit into our timeline.
And I'll reach out, and because you can't do this if you don't know what. And see how the funders want to handle this. Because
mm-hmm.
in the end, it's their decision how they wish to
mm-hmm.
proceed.
Okay.
And your fundraising, so you've spoken with our financial person about the how you would go about fundraising on behalf of the region and how checks would be.
We haven't gotten to that point
to
yet.
That question was asked so several times so far over the years, and as far as we understood, is that the tax number could be used for donations.
But you need to
yes.
clarify things with our financial
yes.
person. Because it's very rigid over who the checks are made out to,
yes.
the amount. For example, we will not be, are we going to issue a charitable donation for $10, $5? So
mm-hmm.
you need to make an appointment with our head of our financial department, Ms. Joanne Vino,
mm-hmm.
who will let you know the Joanne, the way. $1,000 for a region's project on behalf of the region, because it's there's, you know, you want to get to work on that, but you also need, before you go out, you need to know what it is you're going to say and that type
of thing. And as you said, we feel like this is the first step. So this is our first presentation to the council, and we need to know where to go from here. If this is approved, then we take the next step.
So I believe probably your first step should be to see Ms. Spino about further fundraising, and I'll reach out to funders, because that's important before you go forward in any design. Council will have to discuss location and those types of things. But we thank you for all this information that you've provided, and we know we can reach out, and we've got the members of council sitting on your committee, so we will reach out and get this moving along.
Thank you.
We're just going to recess quickly, take a 5-minute break. It's not a recess, I saw one counselor. Okay, next on our agenda, tabling of petitions. Are there any petitions to table? Public question comment session 5.0. I ask anyone who wishes to speak to identify themselves by giving their name and their civic number. Yes. Yes.
I guess this mic is on, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Leon Robertson, College Street in Liverpool. Just wanted to mention under 6.6, the site selection there recommended the new library be placed at the end of King's Place Drive. I think that's a good suggestion, and hopefully it'll go through. The other item I wanted to mention is, I think at the end of the meeting last month, we talked about the exit from parking lot onto Market Street, having a problem there with seeing getting onto the bridge and so on. And I think it was recommended by the council that the shrubs there and so on be trimmed and what have you. Well, I checked it, I go through there quite often, and I checked again this morning. One other thing that is a problem there, and I don't know what you can do about it, but the sign for the tourist bureau, and you go through the shops, and then you come to the sign there, and it still gives you a bit of a problem there to get out on the highway over to American Street. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
David Hoskins, 160 Church Street, Liverpool. And I see now that they've got one street changed, McLeod Street. So no one is allowed to park there unless you're going to the establishment.
Uncertain about the parking, all that we have jurisdiction over is direction of the traffic flow. We own a small strip through there, which is our street, and everything else on this, which is why it was made one way, because the land, the region between zones, is very narrow, and everything else on that street belongs to private individuals and or businesses.
Okay, thank you. One other thing, I hope you've got better arrangements for plowing snow and getting rid of snow this year than last, because last year that was the worst I ever seen in Liverpool. So have they got all the streets was not plowed, looked after. So far, they're doing great with the salt, but that was not the best last year.
I hate to disagree, but I heard from many people, especially from outside of our community, who complimented us on our ability to quickly plow and clear. I know there was the one difficulty down the hill past your place. It seemed they were kind of had a little mix up there at one point in time, but as mayor, I'm pretty proud of our engineering department and how quickly we are able to get our streets
got new operators this year.
Susan.
Morning, everyone. I'm Susan McCabe, 57 College Street in Liverpool. And I must say that I am proud of our works department when they do clear snow and any other jobs they do in Queens. Queens is a model for any other community. And when we construct and when we do our snow clearing and all those services, so I want to make that point. I just want to make a comment on two presentations that were made to council on two potential developers for housing in Queens County. And on December the 13th, a presentation was made to council by Anchors Up Ventures Limited, and the representatives were Chad Pottier and Graham Vandepas, regarding housing development in Queens at Western Head Mercy Point area. I think they call it the Point. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that presentation, Larry Cochran, a local individual whom we all know, local developer who owns property up off of School Street, made a presentation to council previously regarding housing development in that area. Both have been proposed in that area that currently does not have water and sewer services to each of those properties. The request by both to council is to have these necessary services extended by the Region of Queens approval. Council's response at that time was discussion would be held during council budget deliberations for the next coming year, and I urge council to strongly support these two ventures. We need housing in Queens. These are superb recommendations or superb developments. And with developments like that and the extension of the services that would accommodate them just to their property line, they look after these services within their own area. But it also would open up others in those areas for the water and sewer services and development, and further development in lands that are adjacent to that area could further be considered for housing, much needed housing in Queens. And I know that we do have budget deliberations, but I also know from my previous experience on council that you can make pre-budget approvals. You can look at these, you can look at your reserves, you can look at monies that's available through the Building Capacity Fund, which was the gas tax fund. And if we don't act quickly on these two ventures, specifically the Anchors Up Ventures, I understand that they have been lured by other communities to build there, and we certainly do not want to lose this opportunity.